We are going back in time.
Yes.
And I have a song stuck in my head this morning that I feel like is appropriate just because, first of all, it's stuck in my head for no other reason other than it's stuck in my head. Like, I don't know where it came from. But it's from a TV show that came out around the same time that X-Men the cartoon was out. So I think it's appropriate that I sing it.
Okay.
So we are living singing.
I love that.
World. I'm glad I got my girl. Remember that song? Do you remember that show?
That show is one of my favorites. I love that show.
Oh my God. That was such a good show. I feel like there was like a block, like, okay. So like NBC had like it's must-see Thursdays or like must-see TV Thursdays or something, but like Fox had like a block on a different night that was like their own little thing. And I think Living Single was part of it. I could be wrong, but also in Living Color, my family was a big In Living Color family as well. My dad used to dress up as Homie the Clown at all of our birthday parties, but we are way off track and we haven't even begun. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Simply Amazing.
Yes, it's Saturday for us right now. I'm still waking up, so this will be extra fun for all you people listening at home. And you're like, what the fuck's wrong with Lauren? I'm still waking up.
And I haven't gone to bed yet, so there you go. Hey!
Oh, no, well, see, there you go. We got two sides of the same fucked up coin, so.
No, that's a lie. I am way too old to have stayed up all night. That's bullshit. Anyway, I'm Lisa, aka the OG Nocturne. We got Lauren over here, the neighbor, a friendly neighborhood by that, you know, we're still figuring that out from last episode because, you know, we don't know what's going on.
Back to my crisis. I need the people to help me out. Like, what the hell, Banff Nation? What do I do? How do I redeem myself? I don't know.
So here's the thing. We are not a serial podcast. And what I mean by that is, like, you don't need to have listened to your episode before this to understand us, this episode. Like, you can just come in, tune in anytime. There's no canon here. We're not worried about it. However, I would like to talk about, I just want to mention something that happened last week. And
now we're creating a canon. Now we're going to have one storyline on this entire show.
Well, here's the thing. This is a storyline that, I mean, it's the same storyline that's been going on. Like, this is like the backstory, like in Exiles, how, you know, everyone was so focused on like Clarice and Calvin, like Mimic and Blink, being a couple that like they didn't even realize that like Nocturne and Thunderbird were getting together in the back scene. Like, there's a backstory that's been going on this whole time. And
wait, now I'm worried. What backstory am I involved in that I don't know about?
I mean, it's a backstory of just Kurt's dick. I mean, it shows up in every episode. So I need to talk about the poll that we had. Who is the top and who is the bottom in the Logurt ship? And we did a poll.
We did.
And I will say, I'm very happy-ish with the results. More people than not were like, Logan's the bottom. But it was mostly both. And I still disagree because of the tail. But you know what? Listen, guys, I'm not an expert on any of
both
that.
Both is the answer. See? Thank you, people. The people have spoken. Both is the answer. My bi-ness is redeemed just because of that. Thank you.
Oh my God. Okay. I just had like, what if you used like magic's portal powers and then you literally could be both?
Doesn't Kurt teleport?
No. I'm saying, okay. Oh my God. Okay. Okay. This is okay, guys. This is going off the rails really quickly. It's Saturday morning. Thank God it's not Sunday morning, because then I would really feel bad. Like, my grandmother from, you know, Catholic heaven would come down and smite me. But what if magic created a portal and like you could top yourself?
I mean, listen, Lisa, now you're just getting, this should be a Saturday night episode at this point if we're going that far.
Do you know what my problem is? Here's my problem. I saw Saltburn. And that fucking ruined me.
Yeah.
For penises in general. I mean, not in a bad way, because listen, there's good penis in there, but there's also.
What is happening? Is this confession time? Are we in confession on a Saturday?
Lauren, have you seen Saltburn?
No, and now I don't want to. I will avoid it at all costs.
I'm going to put up a poll if Lauren should see Saltburn because
no, no, guys, I don't need dicks ruined for me any more than the side.
No. It's not the dick that's going to be ruined for you so much as like what's done with it.
No, Jesus Christ.
It's a movie that's like, it's a movie that confused me sexually in a way that was like, not like as far as like who I'm attracted to so much as like how I, like I swung like a pendulum in my attraction for like, what's his name? Barry Keoghan. Is that how you say it? For his character? Because it was like,
wait, is this the one where like people, you see his dick everywhere and everybody's like, we've already seen your dick, dude. Like nobody cares anymore. Is that the
yes,
movie?
But no, you should, we've seen, listen, you should care. It's not, I mean, listen. I'm just, yeah, it's that one, but okay. there's moments in that movie where I'm like, oh my God, he is the sexiest man alive. And then like in the next scene, he does something and I go all the way the other direction. And I'm like, but it's a great movie. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know if I'd ever watch it again because it is weird, but yes, I recommend Saltburn.
Watch it. I don't know if I do. But you know what? I will say it does sound like a very interesting psychological experience. And that does have my interest.
I don't want to spoil anything, but like I had one disappointment about it that I felt like it would have elevated it, but also maybe they made the decision not to do it. I'm not going to spoil anything else. But listen, we're not here to talk about that. We're not,
Lisa, but here you are with dicks and psychological fuckery. All right, we got to get back to the basics.
To be fair, he was in a Marvel movie and therefore that does bring him into the family.
But we're not talking about that.
Okay, fair enough. However, he was, yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not that off topic.
We are talking about the X-Men 97 trailer that got released and of course has every X-Men fan talking. And I mean, that was just one of the MCU news recently, but I would actually argue it's some of the biggest of the MCU news that came out.
I grew up on the X-Men cartoon, right? Like I was in that age group when it came out. It was if you weren't there, it was the biggest fucking thing for kids my age when it came out. Like,
right.
I remember when I was a kid, I had, you know, a bunch of cousins, like within a couple years of me, we would all get together. We would play X-Men and we would always I would always be Storm because when I was a kid, I don't know if I've told this story before. When I was a kid, I didn't like Jubilee because I felt like she was a kid. And like, I was the oldest cousin. And so it's like, I'm not going to be the kid. So I wasn't right. Jubilee. I didn't like Jean because she like fainted all the fucking time. And also, her powers, because like as a kid, her powers don't look that cool. Do you know what
Hashtag
I mean?
Hashtag justice for Jean. One day we will do an episode where I explain why Jean Grey deserves better.
Do you know what we should do? We should do a whole read through of X-Men Red, and that will be part of our.
Yes, exactly. I love it.
X-Men Red. I'm talking the X-Men Red.
The New York came out.
I'm sorry?
Your New York came out hard when you said talking.
Oh, geez. It happens sometimes. It happens.
That was amazing.
But I think it was the one from before Krakoa, before Age of X-Men.
Yes.
Not
2018. Tom Taylor wrote it.
Yes. I thought it was Tom Taylor. So yeah, we'll do that. But so I wasn't a big fan of Jean and Rogue. I'm going to say this, like, this is going to sound weird, but as a 10-year-old, I was like, she kind of seems like a slut. I'm no slut shaming here.
Listen, I get it though. Like, listen, nowadays we're all embracing the fact that it's like, look at that dump truck and look at her this and look at her that. But Rogue was heavily sexualized in the 90s and still is to this day. But the 90s Rogue, it's all sex with her, which listen, we're all like, haha, that's so fun and great now. But like, yeah, back in the day, it's like, ugh.
Well, for like a 10-year-old girl, I was just like, it wasn't like what I was into, but I always loved Storm so much in that cartoon. So I always pretend to be Storm. We'd always have two people being Gambit because Gambit, like everyone thought Wolverine was like the biggest deal. No. When it came to that, the 90s cartoon, it was all about Gambit. He was the biggest fucking thing. So anyway, that's besides the point. When I watched the trailer, there was a lot of nostalgia there. I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Kurt because we know he's going to be a part of it and we know he's going to be a big enough part of it that they've made a figure for him. And I don't believe they did that for the original cartoon. Like, there were other Nightcrawler figures, but, like, he was only in, like, two episodes.
I mean, I'm interested because I think it goes one of two ways, right? It could be that he's going to be a big enough part that they made the figure, or Kurt is such a popular character now compared to the 90s, which, here's the thing, we've talked about on the podcast here, right? Nightcrawler is a very loved character. Like, I still, to this day, have not heard from anyone's mouth in a serious tone that they hate Nightcrawler as a character. You either love him, or you think he's cool, or you don't have any feelings because you don't know who he is. Nobody hates Kurt. Kurt is a very well-loved character, which is why he's also been getting his own books in the Krakoan era, even though they don't know what to do with him still. Anyways, so I hope that he gets a big role in it, and I'm also aware of the fact that I'm going to buy his figure, and a bunch of people are too, because also when Nightcrawler gets a figurine, it gets high collector value because everybody buys it up to resell. Like, the one of the newest Marvel Legends figures, one of the smaller ones, though, I still have mine in the box. I got a GameStop. Like, I just got lucky to find it when it had first come out. You can't just find it anymore. People are selling it for double the price on eBay.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking for it. Like, I'm not the biggest figurine collector, so I'm not going to go spending big money on those kinds of things. But, like, I've definitely been looking for it whenever I'm, you know, in, like, a game store or a toy store that has Marvel Legends characters. I'm definitely always looking for it, and I never can find it. But, yeah, I think, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Like, there's canon from the show that has changed significantly from the canon that we now have, specifically surrounding Nightcrawler, of course. A big part of the original show, at least the story told specifically about him and Mystique and Rogue, involves him being thrown off a cliff. And of course, there was a figure that came out a couple years ago of Mystique with the little tiny baby football Nightcrawler.
Which I do have.
I have that as well. And yeah, I made a meme a couple years ago.
That was amazing, by the way. That's one of the best memes you've ever made. I swear to God.
Thank you. Yeah, my little football meme. Yeah, so... So it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do with that. I mean, they already have brought back the same voice actor that played Nightcrawler in the original series, which again, that to me is the most impressive thing, is how many voice actors they were able to bring back for this. Because, I mean, we're talking about like 30 years ago, you know, they're all still alive for the most part. They're all still working. They're all still available. They're all, you know, and that's pretty impressive. That's pretty exciting. I will say, okay, so speaking about Rogue for a second, I'm noticing that there's a lot of the same bullshit going on among the same bullshit people about how Rogue is now being depicted in this cartoon. Have you seen this?
The only thing I've seen regarding Rogue's depiction is the fact that people are, I think, half joking and half not about the fact that how she actually looks. So she, you know, in the 90s cartoon, she had the, yeah, like a big voluptuous ass. Okay, let's just call it what it is. And then I guess in this new one, in this trailer, her ass looks very flat, for lack of a way of putting it. So people are like, what the fuck is this shit? That's what I've seen.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So, like, here's my question. Like, number one, I hope it's all just like joking and unironic, because if it's ironic, weren't you guys like run off the internet after the Lola Bunny of it all and the Lara Croft of it all? Like, get over it. Stop being upset that your media that is for children, because that's what a fucking cartoon is. I'm sorry. Unless it's a primetime cartoon, unless we're talking about like it's a children's medium. Stop being upset that you can't fucking whack off to children's media. All right. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm sorry to say it, that like Lola Bunny is not there for you to whack off to, and Rogue is not there in the cartoon for you to whack off to. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I get the jokes, and I think the jokes about it are very entertaining, but if people are seriously upset about that, I think it just, the perspective where your upset's coming from matters. And that's the thing, though. There's so many different perspectives you can have on that, and it gets very dicey very quickly, because you can be somebody that's like, well, I like a woman with a big ass. Okay, so are you actually supporting women, or are you completely objectifying them? Like, all this goes 20,000 different ways. So that's why I'm like, if you're completely serious that this is a make or break for you in the show, you need to simmer down. But if you're joking about it, because we like to joke about big asses nowadays, it's a popular thing to do in our culture, especially between the ages of like, freaking eight, I'm gonna say 18 because I don't want to mention children in this, sorry, but between 18 and like 30. This is what we joke about nowadays. Okay, fine. We can joke about it. But I don't know. Because, yeah, there's different perspectives. People that are actually upset about it, it's like, well, what's actually hurting? It's not hurting anybody to do that. So
I guess for my whole thing, it's like, yeah, you can like women with big asses, but that still doesn't mean that like it needs to be in your cartoon. So, you know,
for sure. And
for everything.
Well, and again, it just speaks to the fact of how sexualized and over objectified Rogue is as a character since the 90s. And people want to continue that. And to an extent, it's totally fine. Again, Rogue's hot as shit. Like, I'll make jokes and all that. And again, the jokes about her are fine to me. But when you get completely serious, I get you can be disappointed because you're like, yeah, I think she's hot and her big ass is great to see and whatever. Fine, you can still be disappointed. I'm not saying you can't have your feelings, but like, don't make it a serious thing. Like, let's calm down, guys. And also, like, yeah, the perspective you bring, I think I'm not a fan of saying cartoons are only for children and that they're a children's medium. I don't agree with that completely. However, if the show is aimed at children and adults, you have to consider the children first. That's how it works, because the children are the people you have to protect from certain things. Adults, you don't have to protect us from anything. If you offend an adult, who gives a shit, right? You do something that's harmful to a child psychologically or otherwise, that's a legit problem.
Well, I want to clarify what I said about cartoons being for children. So it's not, I'm not saying that anything is for any group of people and that others cannot enjoy it. I mean, there are plenty of cartoons I've enjoyed. You know, I have two young nieces, so I've seen tons of like cartoons they love. And, you know, there are some are just like a slog to get through. And there are some that like are kind of fun. And I don't know if I'd watch them on my own, but, you know, they're fun and they're cute. And I've seen people say as adults that they like unironically watch Bluey because it's a great cartoon. And I've seen a couple episodes and like, Bluey's kind of awesome. So I get it. But however, you know, you have to consider like who is the target audience for this. You know, if the target audience is children, like, yeah, just like you said, you know, adults can come in and enjoy it, but like, don't be upset because it's not taking into account your sexual preferences in this character. And also, Rogue, you can't even touch her. So like, enough, move on. She's married too.
Yeah. I mean, again, have fun with it. That's my big thing. As long as you're having fun with it and you're not actually being a dick, we're good. I think that's at the end of the day too. If you're having fun with it and it's not like, it's all good. We're good. But like the fact that that's the most I've, and this is just what's on my timeline. Again, I'm probably missing 20,000 conversations, right? But that's the most of what I've seen about the trailer is people like half joking, half complaining about her ass being nerfed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, guys, come on. Like, everybody's body changes. You know, we can pretend she's older or something and also get over yourself. But
also, like, the picture that they're comparing, like, her body's in two totally different positions. You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing. Like, in the picture, you know, from the 90s, like, she's all curled up on the floor, like, you know, which would make your ass look big. Whereas in the other picture, she's, like, standing up, which would, you know, which would then even things out a bit more. So, or she's like actually kind of slightly bent over, which will like kind of flatten it. So whatever. Yeah, doesn't matter.
I mean, that's it. Yeah. And at the end of the day, yeah, I think it is just telling on ourselves the fact that a lot of the conversation around the trailer is about one woman's body. Ding, ding, ding. And it's not positive, by the way. So, but moving on to other things in the trailer, I wasn't as like super hyped about the trailer where I watched it. I'm not disappointed or anything, but I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. However, my hype grew at the end of the trailer when Magneto shows up and he's like, everything of Xavier's and all he's done is basically mine now. I was like, this is interesting. I like this. This is a story.
He shows up and he's like, I don't know if you guys are aware of what a civil partnership is, but
yeah.
That's what, bitch.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Well, because to me, the trailer, again, it's just seeing your characters move and do stuff again. But there wasn't a story beyond, okay, they lost Xavier. Now they're just winging it. And I was like, this is cool. I love my characters and everything. But where are we going with this? So the ending gave me that clarification as a viewer that I wanted. And on top of that, I was talking with my sibling, Skylar, who's a big New Mutants fan. And apparently, because I'm not a New Mutants person, so I don't know about any of this. But Skylar was telling me that with Magneto coming in and taking over stuff, this could potentially lead into New Mutant stuff. Which,
well, that's true. Yeah.
Sounds cool. So I'm here for that. If it happens, let's go bring him in.
So actually, what's interesting about this is that Kitty was a big part of his New Mutants, like, so Kitty was a huge part of Magneto's story as far as him coming over from the dark, like, coming over from being a villain to a hero, and then him coming to the school and, like, because there was that whole thing about him thinking he killed her, and that, you know, really affected him. So the reason I bring Kitty up is because Kitty is not in the original cartoon, the 97 cartoon, the reason, or the, you know, the 90s cartoon, reason being she was in a different book called Excalibur, which our boy was in. So I'm wondering if, like, they're going to find a way to bring in these other characters.
Yes.
That, you know, were not in the original cartoon, but still are important to these storylines that they want to do. Here's the other thing. I'm going to throw this out there to the universe. So the thing about this is, so this starts with Charles Xavier being dead. And what's interesting about that is the exact same, there was another cartoon, X-Men cartoon, that starts with Charles Xavier being dead, and it was Wolverine and the X-Men. And in that one, we had Genosha was a place, and, like, Nightcrawler and Scarlet Witch started dating there.
I knew that's where you were going. The second you said Wolverine and the X-Men, I was like, yep, there she goes.
What if they bring, but I'm saying, like, what if they bring Genosha in? Like, what if they start mixing and matching with some of those themes? Like, it wouldn't be hard, especially, you know, none of the characters that are connected with Genosha have really much of anything to do with the original cartoon. Nightcrawler's the only one.
Yeah, I don't see them bringing back Genosha. I mean, Genosha's been a pretty dead concept to the X-Men franchise for at least a decade now, I would argue. I could see them bringing in... That's what I was going to say. I think they could bring in elements of Krakoa or something like that over time. I would personally like them to see... bring in, like, the New Mutants, bring in Excalibur, and then if we receive them well and they do a good job with them, then give them their own little spinoff shows, and then you've got your X-Men animated verse. There you go. Like, because trying to do everything X-Men in one show, it's not conducive to success for our characters or the stories we want told, because you can't have that many characters and that many storylines succeed in one show. Unless, again, every episode is focusing on a different storyline with different characters 24/7. And that's not the best structure. So I think they should definitely, you know, introduce Excalibur, introduce New Mutants. If they do a great job with them, they have the right stories to tell. We as an audience are like, yay, give us them. Then give us the spinoff shows. Let's do it.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, it's, I mean, I'll take every single spinoff show. I've been saying for the longest time, we need an Exiles cartoon or an Exiles TV show.
Correct.
Like Quantum Leap with mutants. I mean, it's stupid not to do it. The other point I want to bring up from the cartoon, from the trailer, is the pregnant redhead. So
yeah, Jean's prega.
Is it Jean?
That's true. We didn't see exactly which one it was. You see a Shaw, and then you see a Shaw Jean, so we assume it's Jean. It could be misleading. It could not be. I feel like we're talking about a comic book cover now. Is this what's going to happen in the comic, or are they misleading us?
Well, that's the thing. It's because we know that the Goblin Queen is, like, a character in the show. So it could go either way, but then it feels like how? I'm just trying to, like, how? If Jean's still there, you know? Like, so... I mean, I guess we'll find out in March.
I mean, maybe, like you said, it's not Jean. Maybe that's Madeline Pryor kissing Scott before she goes full Goblin Queen.
But, like, where's Jean then? Where'd Jean go?
You're right. Where is Jean? And yeah, that's the real mystery we have to solve. Where is Jean?
It's true. When Jean is not on screen, all the other characters should be saying, where's Jean?
And honestly, half the time they do, because if they aren't saying it, then Scott Summers barrel rolls in and says, where is Jean? That is all that matters. Then Logan comes in and then he's like, actually, that's what I was going to say. Get out of the way, Scott. And then it's all chaos because those two guys are like, where's Jean? And listen, they're right, but not in their execution.
That is the key. That is the taste. I mean, yeah, so I think it's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be fun. It'll be a romp. Just hopefully some good Nightcrawler stuff is in it. That's all I want.
Exactly.
Some good Nightcrawler.
Exactly. Give us that Excalibur spinoff or something. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, or just have it be like, oh, Nightcrawler is over here with Wanda living in Krakoa, and they have, like, five kids and having a great time. And then Nocturne shows up from Exiles and she's like, I'm here too, bitch. And then that's the end.
Honestly, but I think an Exile show would actually do pretty well if they could introduce people to the characters correctly, like general audiences, and get immediate buy-in. Because, I mean, yeah, like, people love time travel shows and shit. And then you add in mutants, like, it could do very well, but they have to do it right from the start.
You know what I feel? Do you know what I think people underestimate Exiles for being? Is Exiles is a really good, like, Exiles is a great, like, crash course in, like, the basics of the Marvel Universe. Because, like, I remember when I picked up Exiles, it was really the first comic book I ever read. I had not been reading comics before then. I, like, when I was a kid, I loved Archie comics. I loved, my dad would, when I was sick, my dad would bring me home, like, a little Archie Digest or Betty and Veronica. So, and I was really into, like, X-Men cartoons and that kind of stuff, but I didn't get into the comics until much later. And Exiles was the first comic for me. And for me, it did feel like a crash course in, like, Marvel Universe, because in the first several arcs, I got, like, a basic idea of what the Dark Phoenix was. I got to understand the, you know, relationships between a lot of the X-Men characters through these characters and how they know each other. And because all of the characters didn't know who each other were, they were from completely different universes, they all brought a different perspective onto what each character was, right? And then, you know, I mean, within, like, again, the first 10 issues, we learn who about Alpha Flight, about Hulk, and what his powers are and who he is. It's just, like I said, like, a lot of, like, by the end of the first 10 issues, we have now Skrulls have invaded, and we have a whole arc with Galactus. So a lot is covered in Exiles throughout the entire Marvel Universe, and that's why I said, like, it's a crash course. Anyone wanting to get started, that's why I think they are missing out not having it running now, because there's so much lore that's happened since Exiles has gone that, you know, it would be like going back to reading it now. Yeah, you'll get a lot out of it, but a lot's changed, so it's, you know, it's not the same. But yeah, they should really bring it back. This one, you know, that's what I'm gonna say. 2024, bring back Exiles. You know, if you are running for president and that's on your platform, I'll vote for you. I don't care what else you are. I don't care what else you stand for. Literally.
I'll, yeah, I can't say that, but it's, I, like, do
bomb
think
the rest of the world and bring back Exiles. Done. Voting for you.
Jesus. Yeah, couldn't be me though. So you can have that train. But I think you make a great point. I didn't think about that. So what I'm hearing is that the MCU should have started with Exiles. Thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
I mean, you're not wrong, but, you know, here's the thing, they couldn't.
But instead we got fucking Iron Man. Anyway.
To be fair, they couldn't start with Exiles because they couldn't afford him.
Got him.
Mm-hmm.
Got him.
And that is the tape.
I love that for us.
Well, I mean, any final thoughts on the trailer?
It looks fun. Honestly,
Gambit
looks
sexy.
I think getting used to some of the slightly tweaked animation style and getting used to some of the voice acting, honestly, is going to take me some time, because the voice acting, while they got a lot of the actors back, there are some that couldn't come back. And again, some of these voice actors are different, so I think some of their voice acting sounds a little different to me. But again, not complaining, just noticeable as a viewer. So, but yeah, overall, I'm just hoping for a good time, because at this point, like, I find that I am happiest as a fan when I'm like, you know what? I just want to have a good time.
Absolutely. You know, total aside, you know who had absolutely seamless replacement of voice actors was Rick and Morty. I don't know if anybody watches Rick and Morty and has not watched the newest season. Like, they replaced Justin Roiland, because he's a piece of shit, with two new guys, and you would never know. You would never know in a million years it was a different person. Like, it's
outstanding.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so for anyone out there who's like, there's only one person in the world who can do XYZ, and so there's a shitty person doing it, and we have to deal with it. No. Everybody's replaceable, bitch. Every single buddy is replaceable, and don't forget that. So yeah. And, in the last part, the only last part I really want to bring up about the trailer is Magneto's luscious locks.
Oh, they look so good, dude. Long-haired Magneto. Listen, I'm not, like, thirsting after Magneto, like, normally in any way. But when he's got those long locks, I understand it.
Yeah, like, I can't thirst after Magneto just because, like, he's my favorite character's grandpa. So that just makes it uncomfortable for me. However, those long locks do make me question things.
I get it. And then if we see muscles, too, I'm like, I understand Charles now. For I have a temporary understanding of that man.
I wonder if, so, I mean, granted, Gambit and Rogue are in this, but I wonder if we're going to, like, have any kind of, like, Rogue and Magneto moments.
I think, well, you know what, now that you got me thinking about it, I think that they should fully canonize Destiny and Mystique canon in the show as well, And then we should see Destiny, Mystique, Kurt, and Rogue moments. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. That's what I actually want. Now my expectations are too high, damn it.
Okay, so I have an idea for how they canonize Destiny and Rogue, but keep, or canonize Destiny, Rogue, Kurt, Mystique, but keep the throwing him off a cliff.
They I don't need that. I don't need them to keep the throwing off a cliff.
Oh, but oh, I do. I just want one universe where he's thrown off a cliff so he can still make jokes.
There's another universe that's just not in an animated form if they change it. Also, it still is. The 90s still exists. That's your one.
I'm just saying, if they'd say rather than him being born in Germany, he was born in Tennessee, they'd be like, listen, we tried to have an abortion and we couldn't, so.
Yeah, but again, I don't need to work that hard to have Kurt thrown off a cliff. Thank you.
That's true. But you know who did? Mystique.
Only in one universe now.
She had to ice her shoulder for a couple days.
And the 90s universe, yes.
Okay. All right. We'll move on. Okay. Well, everybody, thank you again for joining us for another episode of Simply Amazing. This is the Fabulous Podcast. Again, we talk about Nightcrawler or not Nightcrawler. Lately, we've just been talking about trailers, so maybe we're a trailer podcast now.
But they connect to Nightcrawler. That's all that matters. If we can think it, it'll be about Nightcrawler. That's all that
exactly.
Matters.
If we can dream it, we will be it. So, well, Lauren, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me everywhere at Friendly MBHDBI. Also, I announced it on the tweeters, but Friday the what the hell day is that? Friday the 23rd of February, me and my co-host for the YouTube channel I've done in the past, Chase and I, we are going to do a little live show at 7:30 Eastern time. Yep, on Friday, February 23rd. We haven't done one in a while, but I wanted to at least do something, you know, to talk to a bunch of comic peeps again and nerdy peeps and just have fun, catch up on life and what we've all been doing, what's been going on in the nerdy world. So if you want to come do that, that's on at MBHD Comic Show or your Friendly Neighborhood Comic Show on YouTube. You can come check that out. Come hang out. We're all just talking nerdy things and I will talk about Nightcrawler everywhere I go. So I guarantee you he will be mentioned. Don't worry. Love it.
Well, there you go. Well, I sadly am working that evening, but maybe I'll stop in the chat and say hi while I can.
Do it.
All right. Perfect. Well, you can find us at simplyamazingpod.com. All of our socials are there. Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook. I don't know. Whatever. We're there. We're everywhere. Come find us there. Simplyamazingpod.com. If you have any questions, if you want to come be a guest on the episode, we would love to have you. If you have a burning...
I'll say Lisa might need some help with her hosting duty. Struggling to talk.
You're not wrong. I might need a lot of help with a lot of things. Let me tell you.
Simply Amazing Help Center coming soon.
That is tea. Like, if you want to talk about Saltburn, we'll do a whole episode about Saltburn.
I already
put up the poll
on
Twitter.
You can fill in for me. I will not be.
Okay. Well, I already put the poll up if Lauren's going to watch Saltburn, so we'll find out. If you are out there and you are listening to this and you are saying to yourself, I watched Saltburn and I didn't think that movie was weird. Oh, it's fine. You're still simply amazing.